Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Hit the bell for notifications. Subscribe to the channel. We'd appreciate it. Sarah Gonzalez is here to help me rank the dumbest people in Congress. Who watches the election watchers? Gavin Newsom has a plan, which is stupid. We'll look at that. But we're going to start by doing New York City's dark future. Yes, New York City, an election right around the corner. And I will say, apologies for this, whatever happens on this program today, considering I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching my Toronto Blue Jays lose in 18 innings to the Dodgers. You know, it sucked. My voice is kind of shot. I'm pretty tired. I don't know if any of this is going to make any sense. Got to do my best, though. And honestly, like, my brain just wasn't popping today. You know, I just didn't have those normal connections that I'd like to make from thought to thought and reference to reference. And I will say, I was thinking about Zohran Mamdani, and there's something inside of me that there's some pop culture reference of a person he reminds me of. And for the life of me, I can't put my finger on it. Maybe you know. If you know, drop it in the comments below or go to Twitter, Stu Does America on Twitter, and maybe you could post if you could think of it. Because there's a couple that came up as we were talking about it. One was the guy from Die Hard. What was his name? Harry Ellis. He was the guy who was like, "Hey, terrorist guy, I can help you. I'm your white knight. I'm on your side. I can help you. I'm with you on this. I'm going to help you. I understand exactly what you're doing, and I can help you every single day." He's like that kind of guy. It's a little more salesman-y, you know, because Mamdani's got this sort of like highly smiling, always. He's always there for you. He's always there for you. He's understanding, and he's very. The other guy that kind of popped into my head, because I almost feel like it's a science fiction reference, was Caesar Flickerman from the Hunger Games series. And I think there's something there. He was kind of like the game show host that was like, "Hey," he's like, "Oh, this is a wonder." He's here sitting with this wonderful, you know, very excited. Everybody's here. They're talking. Look at this, a wonderful event. While everyone's getting murdered. You know, he's like, "Hey, well, let's talk about the romance, everybody. Can we talk about that?" So I don't know. Maybe it's one of those two. But if you have another one that you think remind, like, Mom died. What I'm trying to put my finger on is, like, this guy, he's always smiling. This is the package of socialism these days. It's not the old school one. You know, the Bernie Sanders one, dour, angry. "I can't believe these millionaires and billionaires." He's shaking his fist at the cloud. We all know that pitch. And, like, a lot of people are like, well, the new thing is the AOC version. But when you really look at AOC, what you notice is essentially she's just doing the same shtick as Bernie Sanders. She's just younger. Like, she's just a younger Bernie Sanders. That's not what Mamdani's doing. He's doing something totally different. He's smiling his way through the entire thing. So if you can think of who that person is, well, who's the right reference for Zohran Mamdani, drop it in the Twitter feed, at Stu Does America. Cuomo cuts Mamdani's lead in the latest poll after Adams leaves. Suffolk University poll conducted over the past 4 days. Mamdani leads Cuomo by 10, 44-34. Republican nominee Curtis Sliwa following with 11%. In the poll last month, Mamdani was 20 points ahead of Cuomo, 45-25, followed by Sliwa with 9, and incumbent Eric Adams, who has now dropped out and endorsed Cuomo, he had 8 in that poll. So Cuomo is making, I'm like, the top of the line for Mamdani in a 3-person race seems to be mid-40s. Doesn't seem like he's going to be able to get that. Now, a lot of people say, okay, well, they drop out. That means it's going to be very, very close. And there is some polling to support that. There are some polls that are showing much closer margins. If Cuomo were to drop out, and there's some polls that shows that Sliwa would actually perform better than Cuomo in a situation where one of them dropped out. A recent poll also came out that had Cuomo only down by 4 points if Sliwa drops out, which, you know, in mayoral polling especially, that could go either way. I mean, 4 points, you know, it's always kind of within the margin of error, but 4 points really can mean anything in a mayoral race. By the way, today, 7% of respondents say they're undecided, down from 9 last month. 2% of respondents initially said they would plan on voting for Adams.
whose name will still appear on the ballot. But when told Adams has since suspended his campaign, fewer than a quarter of them say they are still planning on voting for Adams. So 0.5% of people in New York are like, I don't care if he's out of the race. I love the guy. I am all in on Eric Adams. Most of them, family members of Eric Adams. Democratic Socialist is poised to become New York mayor. Democrats are nervous is the headline at the Washington Post. And you might say, like, wait a minute. Democrats are worried about a socialist becoming mayor. They're going to love that. This is just BS. They're just posturing. True and false. They're not scared of the policies. They're not scared of all the, you know, the city-run grocery stores and the free buses and the rent controls and all the things that are possibly coming in here with Mamdani that he's promising. What they are worried about is how it's going to reflect on them and their purple districts, right? And if Republicans are smart, a lot of elections are going to be about Zohran Mamdani. They're going to be tying, if you want Mamdani to be running your district, and that's what this person gives you. That's kind of, yeah, we're in Iowa, but you're going to get a Mamdani in Iowa. Is that what you want? New York can have them. You want a Mamdani in Iowa? That's probably not going to work out that all that well for the Democrats. Mamdani maintaining momentum in the New York mayoral's election. Anxiety over electing a Democratic socialist is especially high in the New York suburbs, New Jersey, Florida, and other regions where a large share of immigrants are fled Cuba, Venezuela, and other left-wing regimes. While some Democrats say the fears are overblown or outweighed by Mamdani's ability to energize new and young voters, other more moderate lawmakers in battleground districts have distanced themselves from Mamdani, calling his policies unrealistic or out of step with the party or declining to endorse him. I mean, Schumer is the one main guy who hasn't endorsed yet. That might just be because Zohran Mamdani doesn't really like Jews all that much. And so it's hard to endorse a person who, you know, hates everyone in your little group. You know, very difficult to get past that typically. But, you know, those are just accusations and such. Mamdani in 2019 was I wanted to give you some of this background on Mamdani. If you haven't watched this stuff all that closely, he said so many things. We've covered some of them, but let me give you a little rundown of some of the things you may have missed. Assimilation is kind of like the high watermark of immigration. We think of ourselves, okay, we come in. You know, we have a melting pot. We assimilate and we take the best parts of your culture and you come into our culture. You adopt the American culture and we add in a little flavor from you and it's a wonderful package. Well, that's not how they like to do things in Mamdani world. Here's him talking about it.
There's still, you know, this illusion, and it's partially a result of settler colonialism, that all of us can become New Yorkers, that all of us can settle into the city. And yet there would be these moments where I would be reminded by someone whose intent was to tell me that you do not belong. And one of those first moments was on 9/11, when, before I knew what had happened, my teacher had pulled me and a Muslim classmate of mine out of the class and told us that something has happened and you may be bullied. And I want you to tell me if that happens. And frankly, I was lucky because most Muslim students in the city were not given that kind of care from their teachers. And it's something that has continued in the time since, where a few months ago, I went with a client of mine to a bankruptcy court. And as we're going into the court, the security guard takes me aside and pats me down with additional care and asks me multiple times if I have any weapons of mass destruction on me.
This did not happen.
And in these moments, the sense of not knowing where home is, you know, they're amplified by what I would see around me.
I say this as an expert. In all humanity, there has never been a conversation that went that way. Not only with Mamdani, but with anybody in history. There's never been a person who walked up to some Muslim and said, hey, do you have any weapons of mass destruction on you? That's not a thing that occurs. What we're talking about there is someone lying. Now, of course, I was not there for all of his conversations. Most of them I previously recorded. Seems like he recorded most of his words over the past few years. It's certainly on record quite a bit. But here's the truth about the first clip. I don't believe him at all. This is something that I do not believe occurred in any fashion. He was also talking about this is something that is occurring. He wants to freeze your rent. Well, maybe not your rent, but he wants to freeze somebody else's rent because it sounds wonderful. Here's Mamdani on frozen rent.
Here is what we stand for.
Here's what we stand for.
We are going to freeze the rent for more than 2 million rent stabilized tenants.
Woo! 2 million. Yay.
and use every resource at our disposal to build housing for everyone who needs it.
That's wonderful. I don't believe you.
We are going to eliminate the fare on every single bus line.
Brilliant. Everyone's always wanted a mobile homeless shelter.
And make what are currently the slowest buses in the nation move around this city with ease.
Oh, yeah. Moving around the city with ease. That nothing moves around that city with ease.
And we are going to create universal child care
there
at no
are.
Cost to parents.
No, no cost. Who's going to? Everyone's going to work for free. All the people are going to work for free. Not going to get
so
paid
New
at all.
So New Yorkers can raise their family in the city they love.
They're not going to love it anymore after we pass all that crap. They're going to hate it. Because that's what happens every single time. You also have one of the big things that's been a recurring situation is, look, Mamdani is what you'd expect him to be. He hates the police. He despises the police. Hates them. Thinks they're the worst. He really despises the police. He's been very consistent about that until he started running for this particular office and wanted to start denying it. Defund the police, you might remember, was popular in 2020 and 2021, and it fell out of popularity when Democrats understood that, oh, wait, people like police officers? Holy crap, we've never even considered that point of view before. We should hide our views on this topic from now on. Of course, Mamdani was a loudmouth and spoke about it often. Here he is in 2020.
We need to defund these institutions. And I say that as somebody who has grown up in this city, who has seen what these cops can do, and who has seen the ways in which that police have been integrated into every part of our lives, that we had them in our high schools, that we had them in our middle schools. We do not need police to be in these places. They do not create safety.
No.
We need to take this money, defund the NYPD, and refund the people.
Just defund the NYPD, but he's never said he wanted to defund the police. He just said defund the NYPD. Those are letters, not a word. A word is made up of letters, sure, but it means something. NYPD is just a bunch of letters. Who knows? Defund the NYPD, why not? Why not? By the way, Chris Rufo posted this. This is some of the policies. Barack Obama, that's revealing, I suppose. Zohran Mamdani is proposing here, and Mamdani... these people don't like them all that much. Abolish the police, -64% net support. Abolish prisons, -55%. Provide free health care to undocumented immigrants, -49. Underwater by -49 as well, when lowering the voting age to 16, another thing he wants. Cut police budgets by 10%, that's -48. Get rid of tracking in public schools is -39, again, because that's testing. Increase refugee admissions, -33. Restore affirmative action in college admissions, 26 points underwater. Abolish the death penalty, 22. Increase the taxes by 3% on Americans making more than $75,000, which, by the way, $75,000 in New York City, you actually are living in a homeless shelter at that amount. That's -22. Subsidize electric vehicles, -21%. Require cities and towns to allow more multifamily housing, apartment buildings, -20%. Create a $3,000 child allowance available to all families, another 20% underwater. You get the idea. Pretty much everything this guy is actually proposing is not very popular. Now, people do like free things, but when you attach a cost to it, that is usually the deal breaker. And you realize that when you hear the wording of Mamdani, right? What's he saying when he says, when you're going through some of those clips there? He's saying, we're going to give you free child care not paid for by parents. Well, why? If it's free, we know it's not paid for by anybody. When he says free, not paid for by parents, what he's saying is the exact people who are putting the kids into childcare don't directly pay, like when they show up at childcare. What happens is, of course, a lot of those parents do pay. They pay into taxes, and then the taxes go to these places. We'll act like that's not real money. No one's paying for it because you're not paying for it when you show up. It's like you get taxed $50 a month, and you get to go see as many movies as you'd like. Now, first of all, I contemplate that policy, at least on a personal basis. But secondly, that's still paying for it. Okay. Mamdani says his aunt did not feel safe in a hijab after 9/11 and slams Islamophobic responses. Now, this 9/11 thing, I played that one clip earlier about 9/11, and this one builds on it. A big piece of shtick from Mamdani has been, I'm a Muslim. living in New York, and I'm just constantly berated by all the bad people who don't like Muslims. And look at me. I'm a victim. As he's about to become mayor of the city. So freaking stupid. But here he is trying to pitch this idea and giving you because you might remember 9/11 as a negative day. Some people really liked it. You might remember it. I'm not saying who liked it. Anybody could have liked it. I'm not saying some people that we're talking about might have enjoyed that day and maybe celebrated it privately, but we don't know that for sure. Who could possibly know? However, we do know that other people were victims of 9/11. And you might think, well, yeah, of course, 3,000 people died. I'm not talking about those, but I'm talking about the real victims of 9/11.
I want to use this moment to speak to the Muslims of New York City. I want to speak to the memory of my aunt.
Oh God, he's very broken up about
who stopped taking the subway after September 11th because she did not feel safe in her hijab.
Just boil this down, maybe break down this claim for just a moment before we get to the actual accuracy of it. What he's claiming is, and he's crying about this, is that his aunt didn't want to take the subway because she was uncomfortable wearing a hijab. Now, interestingly, you'll notice 0% of that story even rises to the bullcrap level from his previous 9/11 related story, where he was saying people were asking him when he would show up at places whether he happened to be carrying weapons of mass destruction. He didn't even bother to make up a lie saying this actually occurred to his aunt. He's saying his aunt was scared of it, even though it didn't happen. So she stopped taking the subway based on the fear that it could happen, that someone could say something to her on the subway. Not that they did, but that they could or might. Okay, that seems pretty weak. Of course, the whole thing obviously was not true. Zohar Mamdani didn't tell the whole truth about his hijab-wearing aunt who feared for her safety post 9/11. Now, here's the aunt. We have her picture. And what you'll notice here is you're seeing her mouth and teeth. She's smiling. Seems like a lovely lady. Not wearing a hijab. She just seems happy. She's not wearing a hijab at all. Seems like a very average, assimilated New Yorker. Huh. And you know what? A lot of people notice that. Hey, you only have one aunt and she doesn't wear a hijab. What's the deal? Here is Mamdani trying to talk his way out of it.
Yes, that's... I was speaking about my aunt. I was speaking about Zehra Foui, my father's cousin, who sadly passed away a few years ago. And for the takeaway from my more than 10-minute address about Islamophobia in this race and in this city to be the question of my aunt tells you everything about Andrew Cuomo and his inability to reckon with a crisis of his own.
No, actually, if you want to tell everything about Andrew Cuomo, you have to talk about him killing old people and molesting your daughters when they go to intern for him. That's a totally different story. What we're talking about with you, and by the way, the takeaway was not just the fact that he lied about his aunt. That was not honestly the part that I think grabbed people's attention. The part that grabbed people's attention was the fact that he was saying his aunt was the real victim of 9/11. When a lot of people had family members that died in the attacks and are a little like more concerned about all the death rather than the fact that your aunt, who wasn't your aunt and doesn't wear a hijab, may have been potentially concerned about someone saying something to them in a little train that goes underground. A little lower on the priority list than 3,000 people dying and people having to jump out of 100-story towers to their deaths to avoid the attacks that you don't seem very willing to even criticize. Well, you know, how could you criticize it when you got that whole global intifada going on? Sounds so closely related. By the way, Internet Sleuth Leader claimed that a public health consultant, Masuma Mamdani, was the Democratic nominee's only aunt, posting photos of her in which she appeared without a hijab and noting that she lived not in the United States at all, but in Tanzania on 9/11. Now, of course, Mamdani was blabbing about, he did a big, big rally to try to win here. Mamdani, Bernie Sanders, AOC, slammed Trump at raucous rally. Let me give you a little bit of the, a taste of the AOC, because it sets up my next segment with Sarah Gonzalez. Here's AOC.
This city was built by the Irish escaping famine, Italians fleeing fascism, Jews escaping Holocaust, Black Americans fleeing slavery and Jim Crow, Latinos seeking a better life, Native people standing for themselves, Asian Americans coming together in Queens, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, in Staten Island, in this country, in a vision to build the freest, toughest, and greatest city on earth.
I hear a lot about how impressive she is and how talented she is. I don't see it at all. She's also a moron, we should point out. That's kind of what I want to talk to Sarah Gonzalez about. Is she the biggest moron in Congress, or is it somebody else? We'll get into that conversation here in just a moment. Sleep is the one thing that you can't fake your way through. Take it from me, person who stood up or stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning last night to watch his team lose on a dramatic home run by the other team. Take it from me. Now, look, you could skip a meal or two. You could push through a workout. You can power through a meeting. But when you don't sleep, the whole world starts to feel a little bit out of tune. I will say, I feel like that today. And that's why Beam created their award-winning Dream Powder, a nighttime blend designed to help you fall asleep naturally and wake up restored. Inside every scoop, you'll find a calm-inducing mix of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. And each one is playing its own part in helping your body wind down and reset. I know I'm going to take some of this tonight because I've got some at home. I'm going to drink a delicious Dream Powder. They got a caramel brownie one that's out now, which I can't wait to try. I've got that at home. I'm going to jump into that one. Or they have salted caramel and a brownie batter, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe we'll mix them. Look, I'm crazy like that. That's the sort of thing I will do. Beam is giving listeners to this particular program the Ultimate Patriot Discount, up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder. Get up to 40% off for a limited time. Use the discount code STEW. You can get the Dream Powder for just $39. Go to shopbeam.com/stew. Use the code STEW at checkout. shopbeam.com/stew. The code is STEW. Get up to 40% off now at shopbeam.com/stew.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Joined once again by Sarah Gonzalez, Vice President of the Texas Family Project and host of Sarah Gonzalez Unleashed. She's unleashed, I think, right here. No, you're unfiltered. I get it wrong every time.
It's my fault.
Would you rather be unleashed or unfiltered?
No, I think unfiltered fits me more. It is my fault because, as the Pat Gray team will tell you, I did steal the un. Because
they had the un first.
I stole it. So it is my fault.
I think it implies, like, filtering yourself is like, you know, it's okay. You got some things to say. Maybe you're going to say them in a little bit nicer way. You don't do that.
I don't do that at all. Yeah.
Leashing you describes something totally different. Like, I feel like, I don't know what we're saying about Pat, but that he's into like some funky stuff.
50 Shades of Grey stuff right there.
So much. I wanted to talk to you about one of your favorite people. Because I was trying to think of who's the dumbest congressman.
It's hard.
It's really hard. there's a good battle going on.
Yeah.
I think this is my science that has settled here, but I think, like, for dumbest senator, I always think it's Mazie Hirono.
Mm.
She's incredibly stupid, and that's different from them being the most annoying or the most liberal or whatever. Yeah.
She might also be drunk, too.
Yeah, she might also be drunk. Could be the drunkest. Mm-hmm. I have a, like, I think Jasmine Crockett's in this conversation for dumbest, okay? But I could also say, I don't know. Now, let's start with Jasmine, because I'm a little confused on what she's doing right now. She seems to want to run for Senate, mm-hmm. which I think, along with you, I highly encourage.
1,000%. I would donate to that campaign.
I think I might.
Get it off the ground, get it going.
Yes.
Yeah.
I might go like full, I don't donate to any political candidates.
Yeah.
I might go full max donation to a primary, not a general election.
No.
Only a primary.
Only the primary.
I don't know if there's a way to do that where you can just make, she can only spend it there. Because she is, first of all, like the most, I think, entertaining member of Congress. Like, she's insane and like has no ability to detect when she sounds insane. So she'll just go for it. You've had interactions with her.
I have. Yes, I have. And she is totally insane, but she also has no class. And so the combination of being totally insane, pretty darn stupid, and having no class just makes her a perfect representation of the Democrats. Like, I want her to be the face of the Democrats.
Yes.
I want her to be the messenger for the Democrats. The more that she can get out there and say these bonkers crazy things in the way that she says them makes them all look terrible. So I'm here for that.
I love it. And I think it incentivizes the absolute worst things about the party and about politics in general, right? Like, she's on shows like Stephen Colbert, mm-hmm. right? Like, here's a nobody congressperson who's accomplished absolutely nothing other than just getting in the news for saying dumb things and getting a big social media following for saying dumb things.
Yeah.
And she gets all the attention, she gets all the clicks, she gets lots of donations. I think she's leading in the polls at the Democratic primary for Senate, even though she's not officially in the race yet. This is kind of exciting.
It's really exciting, but that's what you get when you radicalize all of these people. And, you know, all the people at the top of the chain of the Democrat Party, Nancy Pelosi doesn't care about climate change. Chuck Schumer doesn't care about climate change. I mean, all of these ideas, all of these radical concepts, they have radicalized some of their base on. You even have the top people who do not actually believe it. But that's what you get. That's why you get the Jasmine Crocketts. That's why you get the AOCs. That's why you get these rogue individuals who represent your party so poorly, is because you have radicalized some of these people and they are actually believing this stuff. And so I am so here for Jasmine Crockett. I mean, she's not going to win in Texas.
No,
she's not going to win.
It's so. Also, yeah, like, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if she were to be in the race, there's no chance she would. I don't know that the Democrats have a candidate right now that they're considering that could win.
They have absolutely no one. They have no one waiting in the wings. They have no one because all they've done is create these little radicals.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love it. I love it. I have to say, I love it. By the way, there is a news story about Jasmine Crockett that she failed to disclose ownership of at least 25 companies.
Oh.
Which, I don't know, how many companies do you own? I know you have businesses. Like, do you own 25, though? Are you up to that number?
No.
Just the two.
Yeah.
Just the two. Have you disclosed the two?
Yeah.
You just did. Including major pharmaceutical, fossil fuel, and marijuana firms during her first congressional run in 2022. This is according to the Washington Free Beacon. In the story about that story, I love this. In August, Representative Jasmine Crockett was confronted at a Dallas town hall by Blaze TV host Sarah Gonzalez, who accused her of fabricating her background before security removed Gonzalez from the event. Now, that's not the only thing you accused her of in that interaction. I do remember it quite well. But I also would say that criticism playing out, like, we're now having real news reporting on the fact that she actually did fabricate at least much of her financial background.
Her entire life is a fabrication, Stu.
Yeah.
Everything about her is fake. Her accent is fake. Mm-hmm. Her eyelashes are fake, though I'm not hating on that. And her whole story about how she's just some Dallas hood rat mm-hmm. is completely fake. I mean, and by the way, it says a lot about who she represents, her constituency, that she is going to, you know, their complaint is like, that's a lie. She's not a fake hood rat. Oh, okay. Sorry. My bad. She's a real one. Like, I don't know what the argument is here.
You seem to have trapped them on that one.
Yeah. But I mean, her whole life is fake.
Yes, it is. I will say, though, and this is going to be controversial. I don't know. Sometimes I like to push back a little bit, Sarah. I hope you can accept that because I think she's in the running for the dumbest congressperson that we have.
Yeah.
However, I don't think she would win. And I think because there is a little bit of self-awareness. You point out, a lot of it's fake with her. I mean, she's definitely an idiot.
Right.
But I do think that she is curating this social media thing for a reason. Like, she has a motivation. She's trying to do it for a reason. She's not just an idiot. I believe the dumbest person in Congress is Eric Swalwell. I think he's the dumbest. And I think, you know, he's a complete moron. He thinks, like, unlike Jasmine Crockett, who is good at generating this stuff, like, Swalwell thinks he's good at it, thinks he's doing the same thing, but is failing at it because he's a moron. And the thing that set me off on this was his recent tweet and message that anyone who's running in 2028 on the Democratic Party has to take a brave and moral stand to demolish the $300 million addition to the White House, to the ballroom that Donald Trump is doing. It's purely out of spite. Like, and it's not only terrible for the country and would be terrible waste of resources and makes no sense, wouldn't even help global warming, but also, like, it is like the type of thing someone says when they think they're connecting with their base. And their base, I think, it's got to be like, wait, why would we knock it down? I mean, I might not like it, but why would I knock it down? Do you think Swalwell's in the running for this?
Honestly, I think you've kind of sold me.
Okay.
But I mean, I would say too, isn't that though a perfect encapsulation of the Democrat MO? It is orange man bad. Anything President Trump is for, we're against. Anything President Trump is against, we are for. Mm. And so that's why you have this idiotic idea that the presidential litmus test for a Democrat candidate in 2028 is after they've just spent a week explaining to America why they should be outraged and all of the headlines of, oh my goodness, President Trump is demolishing the White House. He's ripping it apart. He's tearing it down. And let me tell you why that's the most important thing going on right now when we're how many days into a government shutdown? I mean, that is their messaging for the last week. And they turn around, and Eric Swalwell, right after hyping up the fact that demolishing the White House is the worst thing ever, is going to say, in order to be the Democrat candidate, you have to demolish the White House. Make that make sense. I mean, it just doesn't. And I think the American people see that. I just think it's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Because you're right. It's not just the idiotic point. It's catching yourself in a complete hypocritical moment.
Right.
In the middle of it. Like, why would we all be excited about this thing coming down? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense unless you have spent the last nearly 10 years creating policy based off of what Donald Trump's preferences are.
Yes.
And That's it. That's all that it is. This is Donald Trump. Donald Trump likes the ballroom. He's gotten it privately funded by donors. So we can't use the taxpayer money against him. What can we do? What can we use? Because their entire reason for creating policy is anti-Donald Trump. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I will say, like, to take this out of just the fact that we're just making fun of idiots, which I love doing, an additional point that I think you shed a little light on here, which I think is important for all of us to remember, which is when you have a person, like in their case, Donald Trump, who when they say something, you just react the other way, what you're doing, in essence, is allowing them to make your decisions, right? And like we, I think, at times on the right get caught up on that too. I think everybody does at some level, not as bad as Eric Swalwell or Jasmine Crockett. But like sometimes like we hear something from somebody on the left and we're just like immediately, well, if they said it, then I'm going the other way. If you do that, if you go online, you say, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to respond this way. You're just letting them decide for you.
Right.
You have to think these things through themselves. And that's not something that obviously Swalwell's capable of.
Well, no. I mean, listen, he banged a Chinese spy. when you make the decision to bang, bang, fang, fang, you've lost all credibility.
It's true.
He's not capable of making
decisions. I will say, I think that's the best moment he's had in Congress.
Hold on. What about the time where he passed gas during an interview?
The fart on TV.
Yeah, Fartgate.
Fartgate, I think, because that did happen. Like he tries to deny.
He definitely
it.
Did
one,
it.
That actually did happen. I like my thing. My favorite thing with Swalwell is when he tries to take advantage of like. Someone gets murdered, like Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
Someone gets murdered. Yes. He'll always be like, "Oh, I can't believe Republicans did this." Now,
yes.
Of course, he's totally wrong, totally right. Lying. You know, if he wasn't a congressman, he'd probably get sued, like all the people who were actually saying that at the time, or get kicked off the air, like Jimmy Kimmel did. It's a fascinating thing to see. He's incapable of thinking things out, you know. And I don't know. He just also is apparently incapable of hiring people that will tell him no.
Right.
Including people like Fang Fang.
He's also a bad person because he is one of the ones who will go online after one of these, you know, horrific shootings or some sort of tragedy and be like, I can't believe my 9-year-old just came to me and said he was super scared. And then he inserts like this totally adult you know, conversation to have. And he's like, my 3-year-old just came to me very worried about climate change. And you're like, why would you involve your children with that? So either you're a liar or you're a bad parent, maybe both.
He's like writing fake messages in crayon and taking a picture of them. Before you go, I know you have to get out of here, but there is a, you did write a letter that was on the Blaze TV website. Sarah Gonzalez goes scorched earth on Texas reporter pushing trans ideology on kids. I love this stuff because Sarah always, like, I'm always talking about these issues, and then, you know, Sarah comes in, she's always got, like, the beat on everything that's happening here in Texas, which I don't know. I'm not good enough at paying attention to all this stuff. You are. What's going on with this reporter?
Yeah, well, so the reporter was seeking really sad parents and sad children over the fact that Texas just signed into law, and it just recently went into effect, that it's basically the Texas version of parental bill of rights. So in schools, they can't talk to kids about their pronouns. Mm-hmm. They can't help them socially transition. They can't keep anything like that from their parents. They can't have gay sex clubs.
I mean,
what's the world coming to when you can't have a gay sex club in a K-12 school?
Yeah, it's strange, very strange. to not want that to be your main school activity.
Right, so normal thing, overwhelmingly parents support it, and this Texas Tribune reporter is like, I'm seeking people with, you know, bad experiences over this, these poor trans kids and parents over this bill. Could you please send me your stories?
Is that journalism, Sarah? Is that how you do it? You just post, hey, please send me your sad stories. Seems like you've made up your mind on it already.
And that was my point. Mm. That was why I was like, you know what? I'm going to send a little email. Mm. I'm going to send a little email to this reporter because I, too, am a parent in Texas. So I have an opinion as well that I'd like to share. I don't think that she was looking for my opinion.
No. Did she respond to you?
She did.
She did.
She did. She asked me for more examples of trans ideology seeping into the classroom in K-12 schools. I said, you know what? I'll do you one better. Watch my show tonight. I've got an entire segment. Mm. Showing you example after example of trans ideology in Texas classrooms.
Oh, wow. And we can get that, of course, on Blaze TV.
Yes.
Don't miss it. Sarah Gonzalez, Vice President of the Texas Family Project. Be sure to catch her right here on her Blaze TV show. Sarah Gonzalez,
Filtered.
Unfiltered. Thank you. I knew it was un-something. Sarah, awesome. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it coming on. All right, buying or selling a home, it's not just a transaction. It's 1,000 little decisions stacked on top of each other. Emotion and timing and trust and all that. You're moving boxes, you're moving a life, and then the person guiding you through that process matters more than most people realize because, you know, this is a big transaction for you. That's why realestateagentsitrust.com was created by our own Glenn Beck. Yes, he took the guesswork out of finding someone who actually knows what they're doing. That's a big thing. There are agents who've been vetted for integrity and experience, and you'll find those agents on realestateagentsitrust.com. They're not going to vanish the second you sign a listing agreement or hand the keys to you. You know, you might give them the keys, you disappear. Like, that's not the way you want to do things. You probably want to get a little bit more involvement, and they can actually walk you through this process. So whether you're moving forward, starting over, maybe just ready for a new chapter, don't leave it to chance. Find an agent that shares your values, understands your goals, and earns the trust that you need in the old-fashioned way by delivering. Because sometimes the most important decision you make isn't really about one that you make, offhanded. You need to go through a little bit of a process. You don't just want to go to a website and pick somebody's name off an advertisement. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. They're vetted. It's a free service to you. Check it out. Realestateagentsitrust.com. California has a new plan. They're going to dispatch observers to watch DOJ's election monitors. So you have obviously the person casting the vote, and then you have the people at the place working there, and then you have DOJ people watching them, and then you have California observers watching the DOJ people. I assume we'll send like the Agriculture Commission to come watch them after that. We'll just keep a whole layer of this. It's like a Russian doll situation. We'll just keep going until everyone's watching everybody. It's an election panopticon. So get ready for that. House GOP asked DOJ to probe Biden auto pen use to void pardons and other actions. I don't know that this will actually work. I do think it's worth looking into, though. We really need to get to the bottom of this. How much of this stuff was going on? How often did things get passed or signed when Joe Biden didn't even know about it, let alone did he go through the correct process, which this is questionable. But we were apparently are looking into that. We'll keep you updated on it. Democrats not swayed by call to end shutdown from largest federal workers union. It's an interesting story, not because necessarily like, you know, I don't really care what unions say, but you know who does is Democrats typically. And this union is like, hey, we've got all these employees. They're not getting paid. We need to open up this government. We want you to step up and get this done. And they're criticizing. They're also saying, Republicans, we want you to come to the table and get this done. But Democrats are basically just ignoring them, despite the fact that this is a giant chunk of their base. Like this union in particular, a very, very pro-Democrat union, they're asking, hey, we're always organizing for you. Can you do something for us? So far, the Democrats are saying, you know, stuff it. Like, you know, we're not going to do anything for you. You go do your own thing. So the one interesting part about this is if there are more groups like this that step up on the Democratic side and start to pressure Democrats to make a deal, eventually they probably will. It's just going to take a big uprising, I think, from their own voters because they don't care what you think. They don't care at all about the average person, but they do care about the sources of all their funding. And that's what unions represent in this country. And finally, the New York Times editorial board with an incredibly important take. And this is, I agree. You know, sometimes we talk about the New York Times and we're like, oh, gosh, they're making this ridiculous point. I don't agree with it at all. I do agree with this particular point of view, though. I don't know that it was necessarily worth the op-ed. It's being Latino in the United States should not be a crime. And, you know, I totally agree with that. Like, it really shouldn't be a crime. I've got great news, though. This is wonderful. You're going to love this, New York Times. It's not a crime to be Latino in this country. It's a crime to be an illegal immigrant in this country. By the way, the country I'm talking about right now is the one that Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State. That guy, a Latino gentleman, Secretary of State, running seemingly every department inside our government right now, a little busy, doesn't seem to have a problem with it. You know why? Because he's here legally. And that's kind of the issue here. The crime is not being Latino. In fact, it's kind of racist to assume that illegal immigrants are Latino. Many of them are not. There are plenty of African immigrants, European immigrants, probably some Canadian immigrants. You got Mexican immigrants. You got immigrants from all over the country. Some of them are illegal. And when they're here illegally, those are the ones that we have a problem with. Legal ones, don't have a problem with. It's not a difficult mathematical equation, but I understand that this really is confusing. So just to clear things up, congratulations, New York Times. You got this done. What was the thing, the example we used the other day from, I think it was Mr. Show, you know, you spent $37 million on a campaign to make tomatoes legal, which I assume worked because I had a tomato at lunch today and I didn't get arrested. That's kind of what this is, a giant campaign to make tomatoes legal yet again. We've gotten so used to convenience. We've forgotten how fragile our modern life really is. You know, the pharmacy app crashes or delivery gets delayed and there's suddenly a supply hiccup going on somewhere across the world somewhere. And people can't get the medicine that they need. What happens? It's not a conspiracy theory. This is just how the system works. It all is super efficient until it isn't. And that's why Jace Medical exists. They are helping regular people get long-term prescription care for the antibiotics and daily medications that you rely on. Not because people are panicking, but because they want peace of mind. It's a smart idea to prepare yourself. Anything that come down the road, you don't know what it's going to be. You need to be prepared for it. If you've got backup batteries, maybe you have a first aid kit, maybe you have a generator in the garage, why wouldn't you make sure that your medicine cabinet is ready as well? Jace Medical helps you do exactly that so you can take care of your family. You can take care of yourself no matter what happens next. Go to jace.com. Use the promo code STU for a discount on your order when you check out. The promo code is STU at jace.com. JASE.com. The promo code is STU. We are so happy that you are here and checking out the show, whether it's on YouTube or podcast or on Blaze TV. If you haven't been on Blaze TV at all, we encourage you to join. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. You'll get access to the entire network of Blaze TV. StuDoesAmerica.com. The code is STU. You get $20 off right now. And also tomorrow, we're going to have Glenn Beck on talking about his new endeavor. It's called The Torch. It's really cool, really exciting. It has to do with the education and history and all this stuff. So we'll talk to him about that tomorrow.